Los Angeles friendos, join Going In Raw as we go live on stage with Wrestling With Regrets' Brian Zane September 24th at the Nerdist Showroom in L.A. The link to tickets is in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are Going In Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steve Larson. Available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit that subscription button, that subscribe button, and the little notify bell next to it. On the YouTube there, Larson.
Yeah.
We are now officially like 4 or 5 days into this 182,000 plus area.
Oh, confirm. Yeah, we reached our goal.
Yeah, we reached our goal. So, confirmed.
Sub party.
We're going to have a sub party on Twitch this Thursday. Time to be announced. And we got something very, very special planned for it. Something that I've been holding on to for a little while. It's a little bit of a gaming in Raw is coming back.
I'm trying to find it over there.
Yeah, where is it? Somewhere. I think it's one of those over there. We're going to announce it on the show tomorrow.
Yeah.
What we're going to be playing. Very special, very fun game. I'm going to do an audio check. Do we have audio?
We have audio.
We have audio, ladies and gentlemen. We're live. This is fantastic. Good job, everybody.
Good job, Steve.
Anyways, be sure to also... if you're on the audio, if you're listening to this in audio format over there in the iOS podcast app, be sure to leave a rating and a review. That really helps us.
It does.
It jacks us up in the audio chart. So that's a lot of fun. We're also available on the Patreon at patreon.com/Steve and Larson. We've got 145 people watching right now. Some of them are patrons. But tomorrow...
This stream's available to everybody.
This stream is available to everybody. But tomorrow we're doing our private for patrons only Raw recap, same as Wednesday when we do SmackDown, and Thursday for NXT 205 Live. So that's a lot of fun. You can join in the fun if you become a patron of Steve and Larson at patreon.com/Steve and Larson. And Pro Wrestling, you hear the big news about Pro Wrestling Tees?
They got their own shop.
Who?
Pro Wrestling Tees has their own storefront now. They have their own like brick and mortar shop.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
In
that's
Chicago,
cool too.
Yeah. You have other news?
Yeah. They said starting in 2018, there's not going to be a limit on quantity.
Nice.
So that Coldwater Larson shirt. Look, I'm pretty sure we're past the point of being able to upload new designs. We're going to do that soon. Or I'm just excited that in 2018.
Unlimited designs.
Unlimited designs.
Maybe some of our designs will be available in Pro Wrestling Tees brick and mortar shop in Chicago.
Very excited
probably
about
not,
that.
But one could hope.
Very excited about that. So, yeah, that's good stuff. Let's get into the news. We're going to start off, obviously, this broke yesterday, I believe. Very sad news about Bobby the Brain Heenan. Definitely on the Mount Rushmore of wrestling managers.
Oh, easily.
Could be top manager.
I think
it's
so.
Usually the two names that are bandied about when it comes to manager promo guys is him and Paul Heyman.
Yeah.
Bobby the Brain Heenan, especially... For his time, I was talking about this before the show, before we started rolling, is that I don't really have like, oh, what are my top? So when you were a kid, you sort of watched wrestling. You would go and rent the tapes.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I'd rent the tapes, but also I'd watch it on USA. Mm-hmm. When I remember it was on. It used to be on Saturday mornings where I lived.
Yeah.
Whatever their syndicated show was at the time, or USA show was at the time. And I remember, you know, Heenan out managing King Kong Bundy.
Yeah.
You know, like the Heenan family circa probably 85 to 87, I remember quite a bit. I'd go so far as 88.
Yeah.
I remember all that quite a bit. I mean, he was in Andre's corner at WrestleMania 3 and King Kong Bundy's corner. He was like essentially after Hogan and Piper had their feud, Heenan essentially became top heel in WWE.
Right, yeah.
Because he was managing Bundy, Andre.
Mm-hmm.
You know, list goes on and on of people he was managing in an attempt to get that world title off Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, he moved on to the commentary, work with Gorilla Monsoon. That was awesome.
Yeah.
And then, when we started watching wrestling again in the mid 90s during the Attitude Era and on WCW, he was, you know, week in, week out, the highlight of WCW's commentary team.
Right. Yeah.
Witty guy, sharp, super sharp, sense of humor.
Well, that's what I was sort of getting at. Like, I don't have what are my top 10 Bobby the Brain moments? I don't really have those because everything he said was so witty and clever. And it was for me, like watching, like you said, so I didn't really watch wrestling when I was like a little kid. My exposure to the Brain too. And I'm pretty sure was he a character on the cartoon?
I don't remember either,
but I was aware of him very early on. But like during college, like when we would watch WCW and he was there and it seems like, you know, when you go back and look at those old Nitros, half the time he seems either checked out or just annoyed with Tony Schiavone.
Oh, that one pay-per-view we watched was a Bash of the Beast 94. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he definitely seemed annoyed by something.
Yeah.
But still, even with that, he was still sharp. Oh, it was still hilarious.
With him, it was always the throwaways. That was, for me, it was always just the throwaways. Like there was one where I think it was DDP versus Raven, maybe versus Benoit. There was like and we were all sitting around watching, and Raven, I think it was Raven or DDP. He was out on the ramp and he was crawling. He was sort of army crawling back, and then he said, "Well, he's making good time."
Yeah,
and we all just started cracking up laughing. Yeah. And that was just a throwaway line. That was just a stupid little throwaway line. But that was him. It was every little thing he would say was just hilarious and clever and witty. And you go back and you watch, like this morning I was watching like a couple compilations of him. And you go back and you watch and it's like he seemed so out of place compared to everybody else.
Yeah.
The programming was so, you said it, it was corny. You know, it was all corny stuff.
Oh, yeah, WWE in the 80s and early 90s. Yeah, a lot of it was corny.
And then you look at his run in WCW, and they tried it. They took it very seriously. Like, Schiavone and Mike Tenay and then Zbyszko, they all took it very seriously.
Yeah, especially when the NWO was involved.
And he was the guy who was clowning, but in a very modern way.
Yeah.
You know, like, I said this too. He could have been a comedian on pretty much any other platform, TV, movie, what have you, stand up, and he would have been successful because there are certain people whose comedy is timeless. It's not of the era. It's not of that platform specifically.
Yeah.
It's timeless and crosses borders, you know, or genres, whatever you want to call it. And so that was, to me, that's Bobby Heenan. It was like he just stood out as somebody who was leagues above everybody else in his wit and his ability to be more clever than everybody else. There's somebody posted a clip of one of those like conference meetings that like Vince was the head of from yesterday, from way back in the day. And I think it was around 90, 91. Perfect was there. Gorilla was there. And McMahon was saying, I think it was for WrestleMania. Was it for three? I don't know, but he was saying WrestleMania, we're gonna sell out in Indiana.
And oh, so that was eight.
Eight? Oh, okay. So that makes sense because like 90 or something. And he said we're gonna the new record 72,000. And he starts talking to Heenan, and Heenan says something. I forget what it was, but Mr. Perfect, who's trying to be calm and cool, just literally loses it and starts cracking up. And then they fade to like, you know, where the commentators or whatever. But oh man, it was so funny. It was absolutely hilarious because it's like. Like he seemed to be the one guy who there would be an allowance for with people like cracking up and dropping character for a second. Yeah. I don't know. I think that's sort of a special talent to have there.
Yeah. He was pretty remarkable when it came to entertaining.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah. So it's a very sad. I know he had throat cancer.
Yeah, he had throat cancer. He was diagnosed or he announced his diagnosis in 2002 and then I guess because of the treatment of it, he had to have reconstructive jaw surgery about 5 years later, 2007.
Yeah.
And I don't think he, you know, was out publicly much after that.
Yeah. I mean, there are all sorts of pictures of him and, you know, what happens to you when you, after you've had that surgery.
It's
doesn't seem like it'd be very fun.
No. And Pro Wrestling Sheet reported that Heenan was surrounded by his family when he passed. And that sources mentioned to them that he'd been immobile since late August. And that's when things kind of took a turn for the worse.
Oh, wow. Okay. Do we know? Is it complications from a... are the notes? Where did you put the notes?
In the what show is this?
I think it's a dirt sheet.
It is. So look in that folder.
Oh, here's dirt sheet. I thought I was in dirt sheet. It's here, right here. I found
right there.
Found the notes, right ladies there. And gentlemen.
There's been no public cause of death announced yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
But we can probably assume. I mean, cancer, once it's got its grips on you.
if not that, and complications from it.
Right, exactly. So that's an absolute bummer. I'll probably be watching more best of
Tina.
You know, this kind of thing always gets you to start reflecting.
I know, it really does. And he was so good.
Yeah, he
so
was. Good. Absolutely. Anyways, what else we got on the docket today?
WCW's coming back, Steve.
Woohoo!
That's not exactly true, but vestiges of WCW's past are making a return.
Yeah.
So on Sunday, Pro Wrestling Sheet broke a story about the WWE possibly utilizing some old WCW pay-per-view names for upcoming events.
You know, I'm not gonna talk crap about anybody using clickbaity titles because we do that all the time.
Oh yeah.
But I was a little bit disappointed. Not with Pro Wrestling Sheet, because I like Pro Wrestling Sheet, but they said something along the, in their headline, it was something along the lines of WWE to start using WCW branding on their shows.
Yeah.
Which is not really that clickbaity, but in my dumb mind.
No, I thought, oh man, WCW's coming back. Awesome.
Thank you. I'm glad I'm not, because you're the smart one, Adam.
No, I'm glad I
wasn't.
You know, because he just kind of looked through it real quick. It's like, oh wow, that's cool. Well, you don't really process it. Yeah. Your immediate thing is, WCW's coming back.
The thing is, why would we ever want WCW to come back?
The last time they brought it back wasn't very good.
There is no reason why we should want them to start branding things WCW.
No, not at all.
But we both got excited about it.
Yeah, for a second. Anyways, well, it's nostalgia, man. It's a hell of a drug.
It really is.
Pro Wrestling Sheet said in the report, quote, we're told WWE officials are getting close to putting their hand on in the nostalgia basket once again to use old labeling for a few live event specials in the very near future. And the very near future happened to be today because it was announced by WWE that Starrcade will return for the first time in a while to the place where it all started in 1983, Greensboro, North Carolina, Flair Country.
Woo!
On Saturday, November 25th, WWE.com also announced the card for this event.
Hell of a card.
Yeah, it's a really good card. Featuring WWE. It's a SmackDown show.
Yeah, largely a SmackDown show, though.
Pretty much exclusively, except for a special appearance by a couple people.
Yeah.
Matches announced, of course, as they always say in wrestling.
It's card subject to change, and it probably definitely will.
WWE Championship Steel Match. Steel Cage Match. Jinder Mahal versus Shinsuke Nakamura.
Now, in the little thing, they specify that Jinder is the WWE champion.
Yeah.
That could definitely change.
That could definitely change. I have a prediction I'm going to make about that, too.
Oh.
SmackDown Women's Championship Steel Cage Match.
Oh.
Natalya versus Charlotte Flair. United States Championship Triple Threat Match. AJ Styles versus Baron Corbin versus Rusev Machka.
Machka. Rusev.
SmackDown Tag Team Championship Texas Tornado Match. New Day versus the Usos.
That'll be fun.
And you have Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens, Bobby Roode versus Dolph, Breezango versus Aiden English, and Mike Kanellis. Also got appearances by Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, the Rock and Roll Express, and the Hardy Boys. It's in North Carolina. That's where they're from.
Yeah. So, did you say Cena's on this thing?
No.
Oh, that's weird.
He's on Raw, man.
Yeah. No, I know, but, well, no, he's a free agent, Lars. He can go where he wants. But
currently, he's on
if
Raw.
He says, look,
he's probably actually Vince, on the set of Bumblebee when that show's happening.
Vince, I'm a very big fan of Starrcade. I would like to appear on Starrcade. Vince is like, you're hired. Show up. Anyways.
Maybe.
This is fun.
It's interesting. This show takes place a week after Survivor Series.
Yeah.
Which is a co-branded pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
So two things to consider here. One, what are the odds this is going to be on the network?
You'd have to think it'd be 50-50, right?
Especially with the promotion they're doing already behind it.
I mean,
they don't usually make such a huge announcement for a standard house show.
When's the last time they did a network special, like Beast in the East?
Roadblock was after that.
Well, hold on. Roadblock?
Yeah.
That wasn't considered a pay-per-view?
No, it's a network special. Not the one this year, the one before WrestleMania last time, where Triple H, Dean Ambrose. That was I think they've done one this year.
Okay.
I think.
All right. What are you looking up?
I'm looking to see what the schedule is like for pay-per-views for the rest of the year.
Mm. We're going to do some digging, some journalistic digging
I'm just looking online.
Yeah.
So right now, Survivor Series is the Sunday before this, and then the next announced pay-per-view is Clash of Champions, December 17th. I don't know if that's going to be both brands or not.
Mm-hmm.
So there'll be a month gap between pay-per-views, which isn't, per show is usually the deal. So it's entirely possible they could do this as a network special. I got to thinking about this.
Okay.
you know, there were those rumors or reports of WWE going to India.
Yeah.
Early December.
Yeah.
So imagine this: if Nakamura wins the belt at Survivor Series, they have the rematch in the cage.
Mm-hmm.
Mahal finds a way to win, so he can have that belt when they go to India.
Yeah.
And when they come back, Nakamura can take it off him again.
All right.
Although I think them announcing WWE that match is going to be in a steel cage pretty much guarantees Mahal Nakamura is not going to be in Hell in a Cell.
Oh, I don't think that's the case. I think this is, dude, this is like a friggin' afterthought. They'll have Hell in a Cell.
They'll have a match at Hell in a Cell, but it's not going to be in Hell in a Cell.
It's going to be in Hell in a Cell.
No, I don't think it is.
What's definitely going to be in Hell in a Cell?
Shane, Kevin Owens, and then probably Usos, New Day.
How many Hell in a Cell matches do they usually have?
Two or three.
Let's find out. What was last year's Hell in a Cell?
It was Rusev,
2016.
Reigns, it was Rollins, Owens, and it was Sasha Charlotte.
That was the Sasha Charlotte one. Okay.
At three.
Let's just double check here.
No, that's right.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm 100%.
No, there's a fourth one. Mecha Santa versus Top Notch. Hell in a Cell, Hell in a Cell, Hell in a Cell. Yeah, you're right about that.
Yeah, I know.
So wait, so we got Kevin Owens versus Shane. We got Usos versus what's her. And it's got to be an Hell in a Cell. Keep the Singh brothers out. It's got to be.
You would think so.
Oh, it's definitely going to be.
But then, I don't know. It just makes me feel like if they're saving the Steel Cage match for that.
Steel Cage is going to be. That Starcade is going to be a network special at best. It's probably not even going to be aired. Probably not even going to air it.
That'd be weird.
Yeah. It's all going to be through social media. They're going to do it through very high-quality GIFs.
Broadcast the whole thing through Twitter.
Yeah.
GIFs.
And then commentary is going to be little subtitles. I love, what is it, TDE, I think, Total Divas episodes something like that?
Yeah.
On the Twitter? Man, they've got the best GIFs.
They do. Quality GIFs.
Quality GIFs. See, that's an art form these days, man.
It really is. Yeah. Also, it's interesting to see if this is kind of a snapshot on the feuds we can expect for the fall. Namely, you know, Natalya.
The Usos versus New Day.
Well, I mean, I'm happy that feud's continuing.
I know, me too.
Natalya against Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to be the feud for the SmackDown Women's
Belt
through the fall?
That'd be
great.
Yeah.
We know AJ versus Baron is happening now, but is Rusev going to get inserted into that feud?
Well, he wants to take down a legend. So does that mean Rusev's going to take down Randy Orton at Hell in a Cell?
Could be.
You think Randy Orton's going to die? Randy Orton probably likes Rusev, but Randy Orton also, I don't know, he picked up a clean win against the world champion.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe he's just taking this weekend off.
That could be.
Maybe. Looks like we're going to get more Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens. They've kind of set this up.
That's good.
And I guess that's something that can happen kind of post-Shane feud for Owens. Of course, we already kind of know about Bobby and Dolph.
Yeah.
But this is interesting. Is Aiden English and Mike Kanellis going to be a tag team going forward? Be interesting pairing.
I could see that. I could see them. I mean, that's not the most unusual tag team.
Tag together against Sami Zayn and Ty Dillinger on SmackDown a few weeks back?
Was it them?
I think so.
That sounds right, yeah.
How come Sami Zayn and Ty Dillinger aren't a tag team? That worked really well for 1 week.
Yeah, because nobody wants to see that as a tag team.
Man. I do.
Nobody wants to see it. Where are they going to not win the belts again? Like, that's not going to go anywhere. They've already got the New Day. They've got top. You can't do that.
Sure,
they've already got
can.
The New Day, top face
they want,
tag team.
They want New Day.
At best, they're going to be second top tag team. And I'd say at best, they'd be third top face tag team because of the Fashion Police.
They want New Day to get the record for most tag team title reigns. They have four now. They need to get six more to break the record. So they got to be dropping those belts all over the place.
Well, nobody said they were going to do it in the next 3 months. They've got years. Vince McMahon is not breaking up that cash cow anytime soon.
Oh, I know.
That's a money-making machine.
They're going to break that record within 2 years.
Yeah.
But at most.
All this talk about Starrcade, Larson, got me thinking.
Okay.
We need to power rank, pow, 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 power rank, top five WCW pay-per-views. Hey, speaking of Steve W, it's back today at 3 o'clock.
Yay!
Huge, huge episode today. Top five.
I have number one, so you can do. You do five. You number five. I have number one. Number one's best.
Wild Thing.
That's good.
WCW. What was it? It was
Wrestle War 89, right?
Wrestle War 89. Wild Thing. And I want it to be called WrestleWar 89 Wild Thing. Think about it. They can do kind of a, or how about this? WCW WrestleWar 89 Wild Thing Part 2.
2017.
Or 2018. Yeah, thank you. Exactly. But the 89 stays in there. And they can do kind of like, so what year is Southpaw set?
I don't remember.
80.
Some year that didn't have a leap year.
It's like 85 or 83.
That was 87.
87? Perfect. So the last Southpaw was a prequel to the first Southpaw. This can be a sequel 2 years later, and it could be Southpaw.
Okay. That's good.
Bang. You can't get better now. That should be number one.
Number four, New Blood Rising.
Oh.
It's just as applicable now as it was then because the New Blood is no longer a faction like it was during the initial New Blood Rising pay-per-view.
That's a good one. Okay, well, you said you already have number one, so I'm curious, what is number one?
Well, you have to wait till we get there.
Well, what if I say it right now?
Well, then I'll tell you to think of something else.
Okay, number three, Halloween Havoc.
Good.
Oh, good, okay. And here's the great thing about Halloween Havoc is that everybody can wear costumes of other people.
There you go.
What is that? What is that, John Cena? Larson, what is that?
It's not very good.
That's the worst.
They made John Cena look like he was 60 years old.
That's so creepy. They can do that for Halloween Havoc, though. Ooh, look at that. It's me. Ah, Emilio Hernandez is hitting us up with a super chat, $5. He says, WCW Sin was the best pay-per-view of all time. Waiting on the going in Raw view.
What are we on now, two?
What's that?
Two. I got to go hog wild. Number
from
two.
Sturgis. It has to be from Sturgis.
Yeah. And you have to have the section strictly for the bikers.
Yeah. And, hey, dude, it's been rumored that Undertaker's coming back as his American Badass character.
There you
character.
Go. What better way to bring him back
bring
than
him
to
back
hog wild.
Wild? That's perfect. What is that, Cena? What is that? That's horrible.
Number one.
Oh, my goodness.
Come on. You know what number one is. Sold out.
Oh, man. I should have known that.
It's got to be sold out.
Bring the NWO back. Sold out.
The giant toilet throne. All that.
Miss NWO?
Yeah.
Bring her back. Literally her, like she can pass on. They find a bunch of like semi to not very attractive models to vie for. And that idiot.
The title.
That, what was the name? Justin?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
I remember what his name was.
Oh, man.
And then Bischoff is all creepy on him again. Ugh, I don't want that.
Oh, it's all, he's all nasty. Like, tongues out and everything.
Ew.
Gross, what is
oh
that,
oh, my
Cena?
Gosh.
Uh-oh. Anyways. So, good power ranking. Good time for all.
Yes.
Anyways.
Let's move on to the next story, Steve.
All right.
So, you know, Jim Cornette just showed up at Impact.
We're scraping the bottom of the barrel for this story here.
Well, this is it's just interesting, the circumstances around... This story is what makes it interesting.
You're already... I don't even have to look at you, and I know you're already chuckling about this.
Funny story. So, Impact... Jim,
for patrons, so for $5 a month, you get weekly non-news. And I totally know I didn't put up non-news this past Friday, and it's simply because
you didn't put it up.
We didn't shoot it. We didn't shoot it. Here's the thing. Our Thursdays are really, really slammed, and we always forget to do it. And so I decided our Mondays, we have a gap between shooting this show and then WSTV. So we're going to film non-news from now on Mondays, and I'll go up on Tuesday morning.
Yeah. Robert Stack, $2, WCW, NWO Revenge. It's a good name.
Was that actually a pay-per-view? Or
I don't remember.
Was that just the name of the game?
I don't remember, but it's a good name. Anyways, back to the news. So Jim Cornette just arrived on Impact not that long ago, like a month ago.
Yeah.
Roughly. Apparently he's already done with the company.
Mm-hmm.
Why, you may ask? Because he can't travel with Impact to Canada for Bound for Glory and the subsequent, or the TV tapings following that pay-per-view. Wrestling Observer wrote about this saying, quote, Cornette hasn't been to Canada for years because he was turned away at the border in 2010 when they ran his record, which included a number of assaults, mostly stemming from incidences involving fights with fans who attacked him while he was a manager at matches in the 80s.
Man, I'm so surprised it didn't stem from attacks at the drive-thru. Because he gets so mad at people to drive. I never understood. You know, he can talk. I like Jim Cornette for one thing. Like, he's on Impact. I do the Impact reviews here. I have to mention this really quick. HD Hyperdrive mentioned this here in the chat.
Yeah. That the announcement for Bound for Glory, the official announcement where it's going to be, had no mention of GFW in it.
So not only are they getting rid of Jim Cornette, they're getting rid of their company name.
Pretty much.
GFW. Oh, man.
Anyways, continuing here with the Wrestling Observer quote. Because of that, Cornette won't be at the next set of tapings. and is done with the promotion.
Yep.
Which he said there is no heat over and it's just a matter of circumstances. So because he can't make it for a like 5 days of production, mm-hmm. he's done.
Yeah. Well, hold on a second, though. Dude.
I know.
Come on. Initially, those 5 days of production is like 6 months of TV for them.
Still. They can shoot stuff with him backstage here in the States.
Yeah.
And then intercut that with the show.
This is my number two. So being the GFW Impact aficionado here of the two of us, that's my number two problem with Impact Wrestling. Because I always, on my reviews, I try to approach it from a critical eye. How can this get better? Because I want it to succeed so that another brand or another company will employ wrestlers, because that's the important part.
Yes.
And by and large, I like the wrestlers there in GFW. Impact. Apparently, I was just Impact. But my number one thing is the crowd. Is they've got the same. It's a 205 Live syndrome, except the crowd isn't weary from the previous what they've just seen. They're weary from seeing GFW every week.
But also they shoot what? Oh, three
no,
months
yeah, you're right. No, you're absolutely right. They are weary from what they've just seen. You're completely right. That's right. So there's like the lower area, which I think are like the Impact fans. And then there's like a ton of tourists
and
there.
The comps.
And the comps, exactly. Although it wouldn't surprise me if most of them were comps. Like, I imagine like the outer part is probably comps. I don't know. Anyways.
It's like people will go and visit Universal and like the Waterworld show is sold out.
So right, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Impact. That sounds like it's exciting.
That sounds exciting. They go in there. It's like 8 hours of, Eli Drake. But my number two thing is storyline continuity. So when Alberto El Patron came in, it was like, oh, we've got Alberto Del Rio now. And he won the title, and they had like their set of TV tapings where it was a storyline with Alberto Del Rio. And then when they paused for their, to reload for their next set of TV tapings, they lose Bruce Pritchard, evidently. They lose a Pope at the announce desk. And they lose Alberto El Patron. They lose their champion.
The suspension, yeah.
Right, exactly. So now it just feels like, oh, it's this month. There's a whole new bag of storylines.
Maybe what they should do is just manage to get all their storylines from start to finish done within one set of TV tapings. So it's like a Black Mirror. Or are they in those anthologized TV shows?
Yeah.
It's just like every round of TV tapings is completely new stories.
Well, the thing is, that's what they try to do. But I need continuity from one to the next. I need like...
That's asking too much. This is... I know we've used
We've used the
minor league baseball analogy with NXT, and I think it's even more so with GFWs. You can't get tied to anybody who's there because they can up and leave at any moment.
You're absolutely right. You are absolutely right, and I think that's why they put the title on Eli Drake, because they know he's not going anywhere. Because
at least in NXT, you kind of have a good sense of when someone's getting brought to the
roster.
Yeah. Whereas on GFW, I suspect I don't watch it.
Yeah.
based on the news I read, people just leave at their whims.
I know, man. It's hilarious.
But it cracks me up that Cornette is leaving simply because he can't travel to Canada and not be at a set of TV tapings.
Yeah.
That's bizarre to me.
That is weird.
There's ways around it.
No, I know.
And I know. Wrestling is very continued that like the initial arrangement was Jeff Jarrett asked Cornette to get involved just for one round of tapings to push storylines. And I think they kind of had an agreement that Cornette would stay along or stay on after that. But with Jarrett, on a leave of absence indefinitely,
right.
It seems that's not the case, and creative has different plans.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's a mess. It's always a mess there. Anyways, if you guys got questions, let us know right now. But I think it's hilarious that they just straight up dumped GFW for now. Because here's the thing. Oh, here's a preview for non-news. Ed Nordholm, in his interview with Wrestling Observer Radio, said that it seems like Jeff Jarrett is welcome whenever he gets his personal issues figured out. So that's why there hasn't been like a mass exodus of Jarrett people. Like, I guess Sanjay Dutt is a Jarrett guy, and Scott DeMore, I think, is a Jarrett guy, I think. So I don't know. It's a mess. It is pretty funny, though. But no, it's, you know what? No, Blue Monkey G says it right here. It's going to be very sad. Like, we've been on TNA Death Watch forever.
Feels like a decade.
And you know what's sad, too, is that so on Pluto TV, they've got that pro wrestling channel, which is all just old Impact. And they had TNA Lockdown 2011, which saw Kurt Angle versus Jeff Jarrett in a cage match. It's pretty good. Jeff Jarrett bled a lot. And then there was like, I think they were called, it was like the new version of the Four Horsemen. It was like Fortune, which is like Ric Flair.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then it was versus Immortal, which was like Hogan's group, but Hogan wasn't there. And so it was like the Bubba Ray, Matt Hardy, Ric Flair, like 3 years after he retired from the WWE.
Yeah.
And then like a bunch of, and then Bobby Roode, James Storm, I think Ken Anderson maybe. And but I was like, man, and the crowd was all hot. It was like 4,000 people that were there.
Oh, that's cool.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
4,000 is a good number. I think that's how much showed up at SmackDown the other day.
Yeah, which is crazy because Vince was there.
Yeah, I know. That is weird. There was a whole giant section, like nobody was sitting there.
I know, and they stacked that card too.
Yeah. Derek Adkins wants to know, would WWE even be interested in buying
Impact? They'd be interested in one thing, that tape library.
And apparently right now, because they're cost-cutting, I'm not even sure if they'd, like, unless they swoop in and say, hey, you know, give us a dollar, you know, a dollar for every hour or whatever
it is.
You know, might take it then. The name was Fortune, but it had 7 members in it. That's not surprising at all.
You want to open some mail?
Oh, yeah, we got some mail while you guys load up your questions. Do that one. You do this guy. I'll do this guy. You guys can send his crap.
This one is labeled from
I'm very excited True about Treasures. This one. We got Tranquilo Vegas here. He's the guy. Oh, cool. He had that great going in Austin.
Yeah.
Jordan Davis wants to know, is there a Marty Jannetty of The Shield? He says Ambrose feels like an upper mid-carder compared to Rollins and Reigns, who are main eventers. I don't think there's a Jannetty.
No. No, I don't think so.
This is from Ruben. He says, hey, Stephen Larson, I want to thank you for the fantastic content you guys are putting up daily. I recently got my hands on a few autographs courtesy of Pro Wrestling Crates. They include Corny and Daddy Shango. What's that? It's a boo-boos. Hey, Trish.
Hi, Trish.
How you doing, Trish? Can we just put her like over everybody right here? She's the third member of Going In Raw. This is right here. Oh no, she fell. She took a bump. Thanks again, Ruben.
Thank you, Ruben.
Thank you, Ruben.
Sorry, I'm cold.
Baby.
There you go.
Newest member of the Going In Raw team. There you go.
Need some more pins.
Big old glare.
No.
Need some more pins. Bye, Finn Balor.
Oh, man.
Here you go. I'm going to open this. Ruben got us. The thing. We'll get some questions. See if there's more questions while I open this.
Okay. Jack Dolan sent us this Trish Stratus poster.
Oh, thanks, Jack.
Thank you, Jack Dolan.
He always submits the best questions for Ask Stephen Lacey.
Oh, yeah?
On my personal channel, MF Steve Here YouTube.
Jay Plays, do you think WWE should introduce a mid-card title for the women's division so they can use the likes of Alicia Fox, Dana Brooke, Mickie James, Tamina Moore, and also
Paige? Can't get into Canada! They won't let me into Canada!
Tamina Moore, also Paige when she comes back. Mid-card women's title, yay or nay?
Yay! What do they sign, like 80 people from the Mae Young Classic? Of course they need that.
Very true.
Absolutely. Can't get into Canada! Trish? Very precariously put Jim Cornette up there.
Wow, there's a lot of stuff here. Read letters.
Alex C. says, oh my God, mass burial of all the posters. Oh my goodness, look at this. Tranquilo sent us a freaking essay. Just want to say you guys are the best, and thank you so much for the array of content that YouTube provide us every week. Thank you. Anyways, add a little description to some of the items I sent you. What's up first?
I have Spreading the Disease.
All right, Spreading the Disease.
With Raven, DDP, and Justin Credible as a movie.
Oh, here we go. He said, I stumbled onto this show drunk as a skunk during the 2014 zombie pub crawl in Minneapolis. Just something different to watch in case you guys ever want to check it out. The wrestling isn't amazing. The commentary is horrible, but it's still pretty entertaining. Well, he said there's a Resistance Pro / Spreading the Disease.
Oh, yeah. There's a card back here.
Right on.
Cool. Also, we have a stack of wrestling cards.
Oh, yeah, okay. Extra kayfabe corner cards. I think that's these things. Oh, extra kayfabe. Oh, cool, look, the NXT patch.
I know, I saw that's cool.
Nice.
That's what I think it is.
He says it's pretty self-explanatory. Oh, look at that! Oh, it's beautiful! Look at that. This was on TV.
Bye, Trish.
Have any extra thumbtacks?
We'll deal with that in a second.
All right, let's deal with that for a second. Here, do this.
There we go.
There we go. Look at that beauty. That was on TV.
Does anybody notice about the sign?
Hmm?
Notes about the sign.
Going in Raw sign. As made famous on the 9/5/17 episode of SmackDown 205 Live and Steven Larson's Twitter banner. That's right, it's still our Twitter banner.
Yep.
It got a little smudged up while holding it during the shows, but it's not too bad. Sorry about the glitter. No, it's great.
No, the glitter's the best.
That's
part.
Fantastic. It's my new favorite thing ever.
We have a picture of Paige.
Ooh, Paige. Lovely. Paige photo. He says, my Reddit Secret Santa sent me this a few years back. Thought you might like it for the set. Looks clean, too. So that's good.
And there's a...
What the heck?
Issue of...
Let me try to explain this one. Oh, happy late birthday, Steve.
Oh, cool.
I don't know a lot about comics, but I hope you enjoy this. It's probably nothing too special, but old comics are just cool. I love old comic books, man.
Yeah, man, they're awesome.
Best. Yeah.
Prince Namor, the Submariner.
Oh, whoa. Patrick Oliva says, how come the owner of the Bullet Club Hunter shirt and number one fan did not lead with the news Yoshitatsu leaving New Japan?
I wasn't aware he left.
Oh, my gosh. Hold on a second. Breaking news. Breaking news. I'm going to look this up real quick.
That is pretty massive.
Yoshitatsu. Let's see here. I'm going to get on his Twitter because that's usually where breaking news happens,
yeah.
On Twitter. Let's see here. The last thing he posted was 4 hours ago. He says, I am the wrestler. I am the last Japanese old school wrestler. F everything. That doesn't really explain it all.
Grab well, I mean, I guess he can explain if he was frustrated.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh, looks like he's coming to All Japan.
Oh.
Going to All Japan show.
Is he still going to be the Bullet Club Hunter there?
I hope so, but I think that's probably a New Japan exclusive IP. Oh,
good point.
But we're going to find out. What if he becomes New Japan Hunter? What does All Japan have for Bullet Club? What's their faction?
I don't know.
I don't know anything about All Japan.
Gruss 512, WWE is using the WCW Mayhem name and logo for a new video game. I know I heard they announced Mayhem as a new mobile game.
Oh, nice.
So Billy Gunn is the only Bullet Club Hunter now.
Well, maybe he'll draft the Tempura Boys finally, you know, to be Bullet Club Hunter as well. Wow.
Could be.
That's huge news.
That is massive news. That should have been our top story.
Does that mean the Bullet Club Hunter shirt I got you, is that now...
It's a rarity now.
It's worth more now.
No. Power rankings, new leader for Bullet Club Hunters.
Oh, wait. Some HD Hyperdrive says he thinks his description says former... I never said you're officially able to do power rankings again.
New leader for Bullet Club Hunters, number one.
What is the description? He says his bio description.
But he still has that as a banner.
Oh, wow. Former New Japan wrestler. Ooh.
But he still has a Bullet Club Hunter banner there.
Confirmed. He's not really leaving New Japan. He's just expanding the Bullet Hunter Club into other territories.
Bullet Hunter Club.
Yeah.
Bullet Club Hunter. Who's the new leader, though?
Well, Billy Gunn.
Yes, number one.
No, I think it's still him. He's just going to be in all...
Oh, he's just... taking his talents elsewhere?
Probably.
Let's see what we got here. Oh, wow. That's cool.
What's that?
It's a Titus O'Neil card with...
Is that like there? Some of his underwear right there?
It's a shirt.
A shirt relic. Okay.
That's cool.
Didn't want to name his Hershey stains on my... as a prize for winning Kayfabe Corner. Or trivia, rather.
Anyways. There you go.
Oh, no, really? Patrick Oliva says Tempura Boys. It looks like they're going to be the new Roppongi team with Rocky. Roppongi 3K, I think he called them.
Yeah.
I don't want the Tempura. I wanted somebody cooler.
There you go.
Like a rebranded Trent.
Yeah, this Trent with different ring gear.
Yeah. It's Brent. Brent.
No, Trent.
Trent. Larry Zbysko. Look at how chalky Larry is.
These are cool cards, these holographic ones.
Luis nice Ochoa asks, is Bone Soldier still in New Japan?
I don't think so.
I haven't seen him in forever, right?
Yeah, he hasn't been around a lot. I thought I read that he wasn't with them anymore.
I think he's... isn't he under the mask of Captain Fun Wrestling?
No.
No?
They haven't been confirmed, at least.
Are we ever going to find out who that is?
No.
Jack Dolan says, the Trish poster is way bigger than I expected it to be.
It's a full-size poster.
Oh, and then he sent more stuff on Saturday. Oh, no.
Oh, nice.
Oh, dear. If WWE did buy TNA and they could keep five wrestlers, who should they keep?
Good question. You're the expert.
I think I answered this before, but I'm going to do it again. It's probably going to be different power rankings. There you go. Lay off the button. Sienna. Hold on. Let me think. Who do I like?
You like Braxton Sutter?
No. Yeah, I do, but not enough to keep him. There's four other people.
Eli Drake. EC3 is on there.
Oh, EC3. He's on. Oh, Moose is on there.
Oh, yeah, Moose.
Conan.
Okay.
Even though he's got his own promotion. Hey, I'll say this about that, though. I kind of want to check out The Crash.
Oh, yeah.
On YouTube. Because they did. So they did like the Christ Brothers did a match in The Crash against LAX and then two other teams. And they didn't show it on GFW as like a regular match. It was very stylized and slow motion and stuff. But the overall presentation of like the Crash stuff, it was really cool. It felt like a gritty little indie movie. It was like Lucha Underground, but not quite as cheesy.
Yeah.
You know, it just looked like, I don't know, it looked like an episode of The Shield.
That's cool.
It was really neat. Yeah. I was like, oh, I can get used to this. Emilio Hernandez says, Yoshitatsu's going to wreak havoc on Tajiri and Ultimo Dragon, like when Suzuki-gun came back in New Year's Dash. That could be. I have no idea. Jefferson asks, should WWE sign Rosemary? I like Rosemary a lot. I think she's great. What's her face? Taya? You know, Johnny Mundo's girl? She debuted as like a heel 2 weeks ago. They had her squash a jobber this past week.
Yeah.
And she's good.
Yeah, she's good.
But I like Rosemary and Sienna. Those are my two. I would bring them over.
Yeah. What about Johnny Impact? Would you bring him over to WWE?
No. We talked about that before. He hasn't really, I mean, he's done a lot since he left.
This is a good question.
He hasn't really changed as like a wrestler, I don't think.
Nathan Raglan, who would you consider the Daniel Bryan of the Indies, a.k.a. the ultimate independent underdog?
Cheeseburger.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I don't really know much about Cheeseburger except that he's really small.
I would say Leo Rush, but he's in WWE now.
Oh, yeah.
That was kind of a story of the matches we saw of him, at least.
Did you read the spoiler on his debut?
Uh-huh.
Okay, yeah. Kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's got to be some...
Yeah, why do they keep doing that with people?
I don't know.
Oh, man.
There's got to be some trickery afoot with that, though, I would think.
You would think so, yeah. Who's the Daniel Bryan of the Indies? I'm trying to think of when we went to PWG.
Who would you think?
Walter.
No, he's massive.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
He's not an underdog.
What about Sammy Guevara, maybe?
He's going to carry himself like an underdog.
That's a good point. He says, I'm the best.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
I'll have to think about that.
Okay, think about it. King Gold wants to know, should WWE make Jeff Hardy the world champion one more time?
Yes.
No, of course not. There's way too many people who need to have that title, and he still can't cut a good promo.
He could easily be a WWE champ on SmackDown. Make it happen.
He still feels like he doesn't talk.
He's gotten way better.
Well, it's been 10 years. I'd hope so. You get better at talking.
He actually like speaks with volume. Instead of mumbles.
It feels like he doesn't talk when he's not on made to. You know what I mean? Like every time he talks, it's like, man, I haven't done this in a week.
Maybe he doesn't like talking.
That's fine. I'm just saying, like, that's not what you want cutting a promo, right? Let's see here.
Timothy. Oh, we didn't do our Raw preview. We have a Raw preview. We should do that
now. Oh, crap. We got to do our Raw preview. Yeah.
Raw preview. According to WWE.com. So far, I think there's only one match announced. And that is Nia Jax versus Alexa Bliss, non-title match. Mm. I guess this is supposed to help build the story for their match on Sunday.
Certainly seems the case.
They're also advertising more Roman Reigns on the mic, which will make for thrilling television, especially if Cena's not going to be there.
Oh, what? Maybe he'll feel comfortable. I think he's just intimidated by Cena.
He should walk out in like a nice robe,
yeah,
like a bathrobe.
Yeah.
And get like a beanbag chair and sit in the middle of the ring and just like relax.
No, dude, you know what they should do with Roman Reigns? If you want a good promo out of somebody, you know what you do? You put a GoPro in their car and mic them up. And then
you're just describing ride along.
And just watch them. Do you think he rides alone?
No, he rides alone. At least he used to ride with Dean. I don't know if he still does.
All right, listen. And then you just catch him practicing. Because that's when you're best, when you're not in front of 17,000 people, is just catch him practicing.
So you're going to shoot that, and then when it's time for him to do promos, Well, he's supposed to, you know, like talk to another person. Do you just cut to him in the car and then see him in the ring? Is that what you do?
Listen, just listen.
And does Reigns stand awkwardly in the ring while this is all happening?
All right, listen. How do we do it on 2K when we do promos in 2K, right?
We do it all in post.
Right, yeah, we do it all in post. So the guy just sits there and does this. And then we read it. So you put pipe in his audio and he goes like this.
It's a terrible idea.
That's a great idea.
Worst idea.
You're like cars honking at him and stuff. Hey, Roman. Have you, Roman?
Big dog. Also advertised more Braun Strowman, but no Lesnar, so who knows what's going to happen there. And they're also advertising more Enzo and Miz. It really is a bare bones Raw preview. This is the go home.
That's got to be a bare bones Raw, man.
Yeah, I can't say I'm necessarily looking forward to it.
Oh, man, that cannot be great. Hey, so let me, I want to ask this to chat. Oh, Jefferson wants to know if we're going to get a sub party for 200,000 subs, 200 feet of sub.
Hold on.
Look,
one
buddy,
step at a time.
I'm trying to lose weight, Jefferson.
Maybe we'll have another sub party, 183,000.
Yeah, that's what I'm going. Thinking. 183,000.
By the end of the year, that might be the case.
Because it's freaking, it's scratching here, man. We're scratching to get subs, man.
Christopher Meringue, progress to debut at Wembley next year, 6,000 sellout. Thoughts? That's awesome.
That's fantastic.
That's really cool.
That's amazing.
King Gold, should WWE bury Roman Reigns? No.
They've been doing that for a while now on the mic. But no, man, let him get to WrestleMania. Let him have his turn. You know, you got to figure, man, that poor guy, he probably get, like, imagine living his life. I mean, it's probably, on one hand, it's probably pretty cool. On the other hand, he probably looks at all those other wrestlers and like, dude, why am I not? Why people still crap all over me just for going out there and
trying to do his
job
the best he
can.
Not
anything.
I know, he's just trying to do his job.
Not even doing anything.
I know. That's got to be a bummer.
Oh yeah, they're gonna have a Heenan video package, no doubt.
Matthew Auday, too sweet to Steve, and handshake the Larson Steve Club for life.
Okay, there you go. That's a perfect segue out of the show. Matthew Auday has been confirmed to be in the main event today on WSteveW live at twitch.tv/Steven Larson at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. He's going to be fighting none other than John American. A brand new John America.
That's gonna be John Cena.
A brand new character. No, hold on a second. No. The John Cena gimmick, right? That has been licensed to WSteveW.
I don't think it has.
So the only person right now that can use that is, or who can decide where that goes, Butch Bacon. He has decided that man dying of John Cena is the only person that can use the John Cena gimmick, because we got
what's
the
name again, John American or Joe American?
John America.
So is it gonna be Luger?
No, it's John Cena.
Oh,
but he had to come up with a new gimmick. He loves America anyways. So yeah, that's it for the show. We're at 47 minutes. I think that's good.
Yeah.
Is that good?
That's fine.
All right. Well, anyways, thanks everybody for tuning in. Again, coming up on Twitch later on in the day, about 2 hours from now.
Yep.
We've got WSteveW coming up. We're on the road to big, big thing. We're going to make some huge announcements with regards to that. So be sure to check that out. And until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Goodbye.